This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. In this segment, we're going to dive into the NFLPA report card specifically for the Saints and how the Saints performed year over year. First things first, 19th out of 32 teams. You know, without getting into anything else, you kind of just look at that and say, okay, no one's going to complain too much about being in the middle of the pack, right? Especially because you look at some of these grades and they're not exactly predictive in terms of the Chiefs have been terrible for the last 2 years and they won the Super Bowl both times. And there's some really interesting complaints about the Chiefs that I want to get into in the next segment. But like, you just want to be in a situation where you're not going into free agent interviews and you're not trying to sell people in free agency, because that's what these grades are supposed to be for. And having them say, but you got bugs in your showers, I'm not coming there, or like stuff like weird stuff like that. And so Saints are 19th. That's fine. You're not great. You're not bad. Right in the middle. Goldilocks.
Kind of like this season. You're not good. You're not bad. You're just meh.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think it's a little different because you're not competing. You don't win anything for being at the top, but you might lose something for being at the bottom. And, right, you know, so I guess... And it's not like you get a high draft pick. It's not like you're the 32nd ranked team, and so you get to pick the best, you know, the best strength coach from all the other teams or something like that.
To me, at least with this ratings, Jeff, is like seeing obviously the big one one of the big ones that stands out when you see food, cafeteria, you know, getting the F. That's an issue that is being addressed.
Yeah. And so the first things first, I just want to – okay, so what are these grades, right? The NFL, for the second straight year, they did this last year, and they expanded it a little bit this year. There are more categories this year. They send out surveys to all NFL players, and this includes, I believe it went out during training camp because it goes from August to November. 1,800-something players responded, so that's a pretty good sampling from each roster, right? I wish they would tell you how many from each team responded. I wish they would, because it becomes, you know, what if you only had 10 players from the Saints respond, right? And those 10 players were the pissed off players. And so you're getting, you know, you just don't know. And so you have to take it with a little bit of grain of salt. But what is the point of these surveys, right? The point is to create a roadmap for free agency for players. So if you've only played for the Saints and suddenly you're a free agent and you're like, you know, you can't just call around to all 32 teams and say, well, what's this like? So this kind of gives you a broad overview of like, okay, teams really hate the strength staff here. So if the strength staff is a really big priority for you, this might not be the best spot, right? You know, teams, you know, if the cafeteria is not big enough, the weight room isn't big enough, right? They don't have enough, physical therapists on staff, or they don't have a full-time dietitian. So if that's important, again, so like that's the goal here. Now, I wish they would avoid the letter grades, because I don't know what the letter grade actually indicates, because it varies, right?
So especially head coach, when we get to that.
Yeah, right, right. And so, like, I wish they would just give you the ranking as opposed to the letter grade, because you're going to get really caught up on F. You know, you're going to get really caught up on A.
Yeah.
But if you're A, if you have an A and you're tied for 14th, what does that mean?
What else can I do?
Well, but right, but it's also like, is that really helping anybody in terms of, like, I think it's, I think they do need to get out of the letter grade business, because it just doesn't, it doesn't track, because for a letter grade to make sense, you would have to have a kind of consistent rubric across all 32 teams, but you don't. You have teams compared to themselves, and then you're comparing that to the rest of the league, and just the sample doesn't make sense, because not every team has, most players have only played for 1, 2, 3 teams max, right? It's rare that you see a guy who's played for like 7, 8 teams. And so, like, what's their frame of reference? You know, like, they might have, you know, this might be a guy who's playing for a team that actually has a good strength staff, but he came out of college and he was like, well, the strength staff at Texas A&M was way better because it's college, you know? And so he gives it a bad grade, but then he'll go to the Chiefs and he'll be like, wow, this guy hates me, you know? So it's tough. Anyway, like, take it with a grain of salt. This is not, you know, if you like looking at it and saying, F, oh my God, it's failure. Anyway. They also give out F minuses, which is kind of funny. like you've failed extra.
Yes.
Anyway, so going into that, but so you mentioned, so the Saints got one F. And it's really for the second year in a row. It's a little different because last year they did not separate nutrition from food, which, you know, it's kind of a strange dynamic, but this year they did. And so this year the categories are nutrition, dietitian, and then another category for food / cafeteria. And last year the F was in nutrition, but the reasoning was the cafeteria was too small and they were one of just a handful of teams that did not provide 3 meals a day. So this year the nutrition grade is separate and the food / cafeteria is still getting an F. Now, like you mentioned, you know, we've talked about this. The Saints are holding their training camp outside of Metairie. And right. The reason is they are planning to do a major renovation on their cafeteria. And I'm sure that the team was really annoyed or frustrated when the grades came in because they were like, we're dealing with this. You know, we're trying to fix it, but we got an F this year. So hopefully that's, you know, I don't know if the renovation is going to lead to better food service at the facility.
Yeah.
But it is going to be a space help and maybe the kitchen. I don't know. So, you know, when you look at these grades, you're saying, okay, there does need to be some understanding of like, okay, they got an F, but they are trying to fix it. And I think when you go across the teams, you'll see that in these reports of like the grades still aren't great, but they are putting an investment in and the ownership is trying to fix issues. But you know, you can't fix everyone. But yeah, that's the one grade they got an F in. And it is kind of funny because you're talking like, oh, it's a food city and we can't come up with a way. Although I will say they are in Metairie. So, you know, the food in Metairie kind of sucks.
I could bring up plenty of good food in Metairie, but man, you look at, they give a little bit of a breakdown with this too, Jeff. You got 28th overall in food taste, 30th overall in food freshness. That's not a good look at all.
Yeah, it's not. And so hopefully they can, you know, hopefully that's something that they can fix.
I just laugh because, you know, you also mentioned several players are looking for fresher, healthy, better quality food. Meanwhile, you and I damn well know they run across the street to Cane's a lot of days. And maybe that's because the options aren't good in the cafeteria. I don't know.
Well, you know, I do think it comes down to, okay, who's replying?
Yeah.
Right. Like who is saying, because, you know, maybe if I'm a veteran player, yeah, my diet has now become a much bigger factor for me. Yeah. You know, you're talking about a DeMario Davis, right? You think you play at the level DeMario Davis has for the amount of time he has by going across the street and having Cane's for lunch?
Maybe the Smoothie King then instead.
I just think like, so if you're getting those responses from a lot of veterans, then yeah, that's probably a bigger thing for them than maybe some of these younger players who they still have a metabolism and, you know, there's a difference there, but you know, it is interesting and we can go through the rest of the grades here. There's one other that is super negative, and it is treatment of families. They got a D plus, and we'll come back to that. They ranked 20th. So it's a good example of like, okay, they got a D, but they ranked 20th. So a lot of teams there are a lot of teams who are not treating families well. And I wish they would change the name of that, because it's kind of like turf toe.
It's a D plus.
It's a D plus.
Yes.
So I guess because there's a big difference because they're 20th. Like there's 11 teams behind them or 12 teams behind them.
Yeah.
So that actually does mean something probably. But, it's one of those categories that I wish they would change the name of it, because it's like, it sounds like they're just like, locking player families in a closet saying, we'll let you out when we decide. It's not quite that, but we'll go in. So let's just run down the grades. We'll go from low to high. So food/cafeteria was an F. They ranked 30th. Treatment of families, D plus. They ranked 20th. They didn't get a C in anything. So in 9 of 11 categories, they got a B or better. So that's pretty good. You're not going to be perfect at everything. If, there's a bunch of teams that got Fs in one category or another, in large part, they did pretty well. They were above average in most categories. So we'll go through that. Nutrition/dietitian, B-. They were ranked 22nd. Head coach, B-. They ranked 29th. We'll get into that
not a little word.
More. Team travel, they got a B and they ranked 7th. So again, that's a good example of like, well, there's not a lot of teams that are acing team travel.
Right. A B is that high. I was surprised. Yeah.
Weight room, a B, and that's 14th. So a good example of like, in one category, a B is 7th and another category, a B is 14th.
Exactly.
Training staff, a B, 15th. Locker room, a B, 12th. Then training room, B+, which ranked 4th. Ownership, B+, which was 11th. And ownership is interesting because it's like the only real indicator we get in ownership in the breakdowns is like was willing to spend money, which I guess is at the end of the day is kind of what the deal is. Like if you're cheap as an owner, you're going to be viewed as a bad owner. But then you got guys like David Tepper who are throwing drinks on fans. So like, does that factor in? I don't know. And then the only A they got, the only A the Saints got was strength coaches, which is A-, and ranked 14th.
Ugh. Yeah. So like,
if you're looking at the grades, they did best in strength coach because it's A-. But if you're looking at their rank across the NFL, they did best in training room, which was a B+, but ranked 4th. So again, you got to look a little deeper than the grades. Now, treatment of families. It's a funny name because again, it sounds like they're just abusing families.
Right.
Not really what's happening. Based on the write-ups, and a lot of teams, they had the same, you'll go through all of these report cards and you'll see a lot of the same criticisms in terms of, some teams don't have family rooms at the stadium. Some teams don't offer daycare, which is important to some, especially, again, you're talking about veteran players. Daycare is probably, with Demario Davis, I think he just had, his 7th kid? Congrats to Demario, by the way. He just had another baby. But like, daycare is probably important to a guy with 8 kids. Whereas, a guy who comes into the league, that's like not going to be something that factors in. So, that's something. The Saints do provide daycare on game days. They do have a room at the stadium, a family room at the stadium. So, but they still get a D+. And what was noted here is that some players say their families find it hard to get answers to questions, get information they need. And it's interesting. And I think that's where there's value in these surveys for the teams, because I would guess that the team was unaware that this was an issue. And then you see this report card and you're like, well, shit.
Right.
This doesn't look good. We got to fix this.
Seems like an easy fix there. Just pay a little more attention when the families are asking you questions and get them a response in an amicable time. It just seems like some wires crossed there. Doesn't seem like a huge issue, but the grade makes it look so much worse.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Yeah, well, again, it's like next year you would hope to see that this grade would have improved, right? And that's there's a few ways that this
no
this
more shit on our families, right?
Yeah, there's a few ways that this report card can be used. If one of the things that's really driving your grade down is you're not communicating well enough with families, well, okay, who's in charge of this? First of all, like that's okay, guys, let's have a meeting. All right, who dropped the ball here? You know, okay, you're fired. You know, we're gonna get someone who can talk to the family anyway. And then, you know, to be fair, you're talking about a lot of players,
right?
As you're talking about, you know, during training camp, you got a 90-man roster. You got guys who are moving. Some guys bring their families. Some guys don't, right? You know, if it's a short-term free agent type thing, like he might come and stay in a hotel room or buy a condo, but not like their family still lives somewhere else. Like there's a lot going on. And so it's not a huge, like, it sounds bad to have your treatment of family grade be low, but I actually think in the grand scheme, it's not like you have to renovate your building. You know, you can fix that pretty easily. So I hope the Saints can. There was a few more, you know, like locker room, training room. But, you know, one thing that I'll point to here is as you go across these report cards, they're not all created the same. And some have a lot of detail and some don't. And I think that the Saints in general, there's not a ton of detail. One of the only points of detail that actually is worth talking about is the meals per day thing. Like they don't offer dinner at the facility. Well, they practice in the morning. So I think that's probably why they would be like, yeah, we don't really need, there's no one here to eat dinner. So why are we spending a lot of money? And so that's something that you figure out. But you go to the rest of the categories and there's really not a lot of actual information there beyond the same thing you'll see on every other report card. And to me, that's a good thing. I think that means that, you know, we've all filled out surveys, right? You fill out a survey at a restaurant because the waiter was like, can you please fill out the survey? It matters. And so you'll give them 5 stars and it'll say, why don't you tell us about your experience? And you'll be like, nah, it was fine. I'm not, you're really only filling that out if you're mad, you know, like, it's like they got a 5-star rating. Yeah, that's all they need. They don't need me to say, oh my God, I really loved her sweater. Like that's not going to do anything. But if someone was terrible and you're filling that out because you're like, they need to know about this, you know, like that's when you'll get some of these interesting details. Like some players complain that on their flights, they'll give the first class seats to the coaches. And they'll scram the players into these smaller seats. The 300-pound offensive linemen are just sitting in these airplane seats. And like, that's the type of thing that like, yeah, I'm going to give them a bad grade. And then I'm going to tell you why, you know? So I do think when you're looking at this, and we're going to talk a lot more about that in the next segment, not having that generally is, I think that whatever your grade is, I think that does give you a bit of a leg up. And we don't get all of the information in the reports they send out. I think the players, when they're actually accessing this information, will get a much more robust amount of feedback. But I think that is something. And when you go through the Saints grades, like I was going to take notes on this. There's really not a lot to take notes on.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that when you go to the head coach, you know, rating, the writing said for Dennis Allen, he's somewhat willing to listen to the locker room. I was like, huh?
I think the league was conflicted on adding this category, and I understand why. So this was not a category that existed in the first survey. It was added for this second survey, and we don't know exactly what the metrics are. We don't know when the grades came in. So are these training camp grades? Are these a week 6 grades where things went badly and a guy got, you know, like a player didn't like what happened or a player didn't like this or that? And so now they're filling it out versus a bunch of people probably fill it out at the end of training camp and everyone's still really optimistic and nothing bad that's going to happen during the season has happened yet. So I do think that it's a strange thing because you just don't have a lot of the context clues that you need. That said, Dennis Allen ranked 29th out of 32 NFL coaches. Got a B minus. Only rough. Three coaches got worse than a B minus, and it was Ron Rivera.
Canned.
It was Josh McDaniels
fired
with the Raiders, and it was.
Was it Reich?
No. No, I have it here. Hold on. Oh, it was Arthur Smith. It was fired. Arthur Smith with the Falcons.
There you go.
All three of those coaches got fired. So, you know, while it might not be fair because we don't have a lot of the context in terms of why Dennis Allen was graded low, the grades were actually very predictive because the bottom three rated coaches all got fired. And that means that Dennis Allen had the lowest grade of any returning coach this year. And that's not a very positive thing to say. It is also interesting because, and I think that the way they even phrased it in the write-up is telling that they probably, you know, there's probably some pushback from teams about how this was going to be presented. Because even the way it's described, you're talking about bad things, but writing it as if it's a good thing. It says, 84% of players feel that head coach Dennis Allen is efficient with their time. On its face, you're like, I think that's okay.
Right.
But then you look, it's like, oh, that was number 22 in the NFL.
Right. So, whoa, wait a minute.
Here's another one. The players feel that Dennis Allen is somewhat willing to listen to the locker room. Well, that's good. That ranked 28th. So that's not good.
Hence why a B minus is suddenly now 29th in the NFL.
Yeah. And so again, the number of respondents is a factor in this, right? Is this a lot of offensive players who are probably a little more likely to not have the highest of opinions of the defensive head coach? I don't know. So, I'm not trying to downplay this grade, right. But I do think that there are questions that we will just not have the answers to. Maybe he won some of these players over midseason. You never know. Maybe he lost some players midseason that actually gave him a better grade early in the season. So I don't think this is an actionable thing, but it is telling that all the coaches that got B's or worse, Bucks, Todd Bowles, Saints, Dennis Allen, Patriots, Bill Belichick, Browns, Kevin Stefanski, Jets, Robert Saleh, Chargers, Brandon Staley, Bears, Luke Getsy. So all of those coaches, with the exception of probably Kevin Stefanski, you'd say are on reasonably thin ice. Todd Bowles is probably a little safer,
right,
but not by much. They went 9-8 last year. They went 8-9 with Tom Brady. Like, he has not done anything. Just because they've made the playoffs twice does not mean that he's done anything. So I think that you don't want to be in that group.
You got to have an A as a coach, I guess, in this, right?
I you'd love that.
Sure.
Because we're not even talking about quality of coaching in terms of, oh, this guy's an offensive genius.
No.
This
right.
is more about
players.
Yes. This is more about player satisfaction. And that means that there's of the people responding, which again, we don't know how many players responded, but of the people responding, he was rated low. Again, this is something that it's tough to gauge from team to team because not every, you know, most players who are filling this out have played for what? 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, 5 head coaches. Not like they've played for half the league or they can say, this is what he's doing. You know, this is what Andy Reid is doing with the Chiefs and he gets a really high grade. You know, although that's a bad example because there are several players who probably are comparing Dennis Allen to Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You have Tano Passanio, you have Tyrann Mathieu, you have Colin Saunders, right? Like former Chiefs. So that probably doesn't help either, where the highest grade players are comparing Dennis Allen to the coach that has gotten the highest grade. So I don't know. It's and I think guys like Tyrann Mathieu will be filling this out. Like, I think the veteran players are going to be trying to set an example by filling this out because this is helpful for a lot of players. So anyway, that's all I have on the Saints grades. But I don't think they're as bad as they'll be made out to be. Outside of that head coach one is pretty bleak.
I was going to say, at the end of it all, at least you can see the players love Mrs. B as well because she's ranked high.
She's exactly what you want as an owner. And I don't understand the criticism. I think, you know, when you hear criticism of Gail, it's often like, well, she's not mean enough to Mickey. And And like, she's not going to force Mickey to fire DA. And sure, I guess you can criticize her for that. But I also think that's what makes her a good owner, is that she's willing to spend money. She's not going to be cheap. She's going to put the players and the team first.
Right.
You know, and not overstep in her role and try to influence player personnel decisions and coaching personnel decisions. And to me, I would take that 10 times out of 10 if the alternative is a Dan Snyder, a David Tepper, someone who is going to be a problem, and you're constantly having to look at and be like, can this guy shut the hell up? Right? Jerry Jones. Like, will you just go away and cut the checks? That's what you're here for. You are not an NFL anything that anyone cares about. You were not a GM. You are a rich person who bought a franchise. And again, like, that's not me talking about Gale. That's me talking about the owners that drive me insane, as opposed to Gale, who is just a good ambassador for the team and only speaks when she has something important to say. You know, and does not force people to constantly be talking about her role with the organization, because how she handles it is with grace and dignity, and is not undermining what the coaching staff, what the front office is doing.
And we're not hearing how she's cheap and there's things falling apart in the facilities. And in fact, we've been seeing over the years constant upgrades, which is they needed it, obviously. But that's been happening under her reign.
Even the way the Saints manage the salary cap, you know who actually, you know, we talk about cap hell and how this is affecting. You know what actually gets affected by the way the Saints manage the salary cap? It's Gale. Because she's constantly being asked to write checks that if you manage the cap differently, you wouldn't have to write, because you're guaranteeing a lot of extra money and you're prorating stuff into bonuses that have to go out immediately, as opposed to stuff that you could plug it at the end of the deal and maybe save because it's not guaranteed. So like, even in that alone, like, the Saints manage the cap the way they do because the owner says, yeah, okay, we'll do it. And so anyway, like, she rated 11th, and that's good. You know, there's not a lot of metrics that we know of for the grades of the owners in terms of, like, you know, what exactly the only real feedback you get on the NFLPA report card, which, again, I think this is a concession to teams that probably aren't a huge fan of grading the owners in this way, or at least the owners probably aren't fans of getting graded in this way, is that they don't give you a lot of information. They just put the numbers out there. And the only real note is, like, is willing to spend money, or players think the owner is willing to spend money versus isn't. Anyway, so that's all I have on the Saints. Anything else you want to add?
I agree with you. Like, I would, what if they keep upgrading this, and I think they will with the report carding system, it would be nice to know how many players were pulled for X amount, each team.
That is information that I think would be helpful.
Yeah.
And, because, like, again, if you see a team with like 10 grade to 10 responses, that's not really giving you a good sampling.
Right.
And so, like, some, you don't know if maybe a couple teams had a really high response rate and a couple teams had a really low response rate, because you'd view those grades differently. So I don't know. I wish they would find a way to at least give you an idea of, like, maybe an average of how many players, something like that. But that's it. We'll move on again. Well,
this was just year two of it, right?
Yes. They're going to keep building on this.
Working on it.
And they got about 400 more responses this year than they did last year. I think it was 1,300 last year. It was 1,700 this year. But again, like, you know, a lot of this, like with the cafeteria stuff, or like with the treatment of family stuff, it's about keeping teams honest too.
Yeah.
Because you might play for a team for your entire career and not even know that this team is kind of screwing you over. It's like, what do you mean you don't have to have a roommate for games? How nice that would be. You know how annoyed I would be personally if I was, you know, traveling with the team and they made me, like, room with Mike Haas? Nothing against Mike. But I like my privacy, man. Like, I don't want to hang out, or, like, I want to go and do whatever, right?
Right,
I want to
listen
to music, or I want to, you know, I like it because they give you a room with two beds, and I use one as, like, the food bed, you know?
The food bed.
Yeah, we got to eat somewhere, and a lot of these rooms don't have very good. It's like, I want to sit and watch TV, but so but I don't want to eat in the bed I'm going to sleep in. So I go to the other bed.
Usually the bed ended up being clothes and luggage storage for me.
Well, yeah, that's the food bed.
Okay.
You move the luggage out of the way, you sit there, you eat, and then you go sleep in the other bed. So you're not sleeping on crumbs.
Right.
Am I crazy? Like that's, I have a system.
It works.
I've never found a crumb in my hair when I woke up.
A plus from you, because you don't want any roommates for sure on the road.
I don't even, and I also don't want a king bed, because if I have a king bed, then I don't have a food bed.
The food bed, it's part of the requirements.
Yeah, that's what that's like if they were polling me, that would be my feedback, and you would see like players are not appreciative that they have a king bed instead of a food bed. One player specifically.
Right. Exactly.
All right, let's wrap up this segment. We'll come back. I just want to go through, some of the grades, some of the bad grades, some of the teams that really suck, and why. Like, what were the actual complaints from what Drew and F? This is the off season, so we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for Tom's content. So, I find this amusing, so I'm going to keep going. If you've already turned it off, then I'm not talking to you anymore. Hey, this is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We'll be right back.